my pleasure right now just to introduce you guys to Jonathan Prinz. This is a friend of mine. He has been in Japan for more than half of his life. And so this being our Missions Emphasis Month, we thought it would be really cool to be able to interact with people who are out there in the field serving in some ways. And we're a missional church, so we always want to emphasize how we can live in ways that people will come to know Jesus. And I think we have a lot to learn from Jonathan. We're also a church that believes that God is leading us to be a multi-ethnic church. And actually what Jonathan will be part of planting in Tokyo is a church called Tokyo Multicultural Church. And so they're going to be planting a church that speaks English, so they're going to be working with the expats that are there. But people from all over the world come to Tokyo to do work and business and serve the people there. So that's what they're going to be doing for the sake of actually reaching the Japanese people. So it's sort of reaching the expats, reaching the English speakers in order to reach the Japanese that are there. And so I'd like to invite Jonathan up. I pray that we would just have ears that would listen, okay? So I'm going to pray for him that he would deliver the word of God to us, but I'm going to pray for us as well, that God would be at work in our hearts, that we would hear from him what we need to hear as a church. So Jonathan, if you can come and join me. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this brother, and we thank you for his life and for all of his experiences and for his passion for the people in Japan. We pray right now that you would fill him with your spirit, that you would lead him to speak the words that we need to hear as a church. Help us to know and help us to be challenged and help us to consider how we can partner with him and partner with Tokyo Multicultural Church. Help us to not just be missional in terms of what we say, but in what we do and how we give. And now we also pray for us as a church that we would hear. Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us soft hearts. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jonathan, please bless
Thank
us.
Thank you. Is this on now? Yeah, sounds like it. My ears are a little plugged, so I'm sounding strange to myself. I'm going to move this up a little bit. It's good to be here. I really met Phil for the first time, I think, at National Conference, and I had a chance to share a little bit about vision for Japan and Tokyo in particular, and we really immediately made a connection since you're doing here what we're hoping to do in Tokyo. What I want to do this morning is part testimonial, my own testimony of how God has led me to this point, and also vision as far as God's vision, my vision, our vision for Tokyo and Tokyo Multicultural Church. And also, of course, I want to look at God's Word, so it'll be part sermon too, you know, a little bit of a mixture. You probably listen to music. I do sometimes. And one of my favorite songwriters and singers is Michael Card. I don't know whether you've listened to him at all, but he often takes books of the Bible or characters like Peter and puts music to that. He did that to Revelation. And the title of his album is called Unveiled Hope. Revelation has been really an important part of my journey over the last decade in particular, both in terms of the hope that it gives us and also the comfort. It's also been an important part of my journey towards God's intercultural vision. And over the last decade or so, I've come to understand more and more what God wants for us as a church and for this world, his vision. I, as Phil introduced me earlier, wasn't born in Japan, but I was a year and a half old when my parents went there as missionaries. And of course, I grew up there. I'm one of those MKs, or now they call us more third culture kids, or maybe for me, third culture adult. I'm kind of both. But I spent almost half my life there. I became a Christian at a pretty young age, and it wasn't an all-at-once kind of thing, but over time, I began to sense that God was pulling me back to Japan. And eventually, actually after I got engaged, I went to Japan on a short-term trip for 8 months and realized there that he was calling us back to Japan. We were married in 1977. Seems like a long time ago now. But then soon after, went to seminary. And I finished that, we raised our support, and went to Japan with a year-and-a-half-old son. Now, maybe just a little diversion here, introduce my family very briefly, but I have three sons. They're all adults now, and my oldest is married, has a family. I have two grandkids, a four-year-old grandson, and let's see, now I think an eight-month-old granddaughter. And they're living with me, so I enjoy that. When it gets a little much, I can go close the door to my room, and you know that's one nice thing about being a grandparent. Anyway, we arrived in Japan with a 1.5-year-old boy. The other two were born there, but we spent the next 20 years in Japan as church planters, and we're involved in four different church plants. 2001, we returned to the U.S., and yes, I am from America, but when we returned, then we fully expected to return to Japan, but God had other plans in mind for us. My mother-in-law was not doing well physically, and we just didn't feel the freedom to return with her. She passed away in 2006, but even then, we didn't feel the freedom. And 2 years later, we found that my wife had cancer. And that was about a 3-year journey. And in about 2.5 years ago, she also died. She had a fantastic witness and impact during that time. You know, you figure, and it's true, people surround you. They pray for you, they encourage you. But I think for her, God gave her a ministry of encouragement because of her journey with cancer. And she had an impact on so many people. It's never easy to lose someone like that, and obviously, I wish that she was here. But God also opened doors for me to return to Japan, which probably wouldn't have happened otherwise. But I'm looking forward to that opportunity. Revelation played a big part during the last few years, during that journey, and even now, as a source of comfort. If you've read it at all, you know that part of our hope, and when we talk about hope in biblical terms, it's not just, well, I hope this happens or I desire it. It's a certainty. We just don't see it all. Just like Michael Card unveiled hope, it's veiled at this point. But what it shares is that there will be no more tears, no more pain, no hunger, no thirst. And my wife, Lynn, is totally satisfied, and she's perfectly healed. That's a huge comfort. One thing that we often talked about and questioned during that journey was, you know, we would ask, how can someone who doesn't have God in their lives deal with this kind of thing, with cancer, with death? They've got no hope. We do. And it's hard enough the way it is. But to not have God there, not to have Jesus holding you and comforting you during that time, it's hard to imagine. But we have that hope. And just like your name, Hope City Church, the challenge is to share that hope with others. For you, Vancouver, there are people next door, down the street, New Westminster, Greater Vancouver, Japan, that don't have that hope that we do. And that is our challenge, to share that hope that God has given us. Now, when we decided that we needed to stay here in the U.S., or not here, there in the U.S., it was probably hardest on me, as shared earlier. I've spent about half my life there, and in many ways, that's home. I knew that God wanted us in the U.S. during that time. I did not question that. That doesn't always make things easy. My heart was in Japan, and I wanted to be there. And there were times when I wondered, well, shoot, you know, I've spent all this time there, and you've got me here doing something different. But, you know, as we often so often say, when you look back, you've got 20/20 vision, right? Well, that's not always true, but as I look back over the last decade, I understand, at least to a certain degree, why God had us, had me stay. Because he taught me so much during that time. I have often said that I wish that I had what God has taught me and what I've understood, how he's opened my eyes. I wish I had that when I was in Japan earlier. It would have changed my ministry. But during that time, I first worked with international students at the University of Minnesota, and God began to open my eyes to something new and different. After about 3 years there, and more recently, I've been working with a ministry called FIRE, Facilitating Intercultural Relationships Everywhere. We are biblically based cultural consultants, and we work with churches and with groups that want to effectively reach out to those that are culturally different, to help them move from the desire to love those that are culturally different to the ability to love in sensitive and effective ways to those that are culturally different. So, and through that process, God has taught me so much. And he's not through yet. There's so much more that he has for me. I know that. Now, a major part of the story of Revelation, and really a lot of Scripture too, is God's pursuit of the nations. And when the Bible, normally when it talks about nations, it's not talking about the geopolitical, the countries, the boundaries that we have now. It's talking, in Greek it's ethnic, talking about culture, nations in those terms. God, in Revelation, throughout Scripture, his desire is that the nations come to him. Now, he wants each individual to come, but often the emphasis is on the nations, on all of us. In John chapter 7, John paints an unforgettable picture, the vision that God gave him. And he begins by saying, "There before me." And that vision for him was very, very clear and very vivid. I mean, let me read the first verse, Revelation 7, 9. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. As far as the eye could see. I don't know whether, I know a couple of you at least have been to Japan, maybe Tokyo. I try and stay away from the trains, etc., during rush hour. It's something else. They literally have pushers on the trains. Now, a little different meaning. They've got a circular loop that goes around the center of Tokyo. And during rush hour, they leave literally every 2 to 3 minutes. But every train, they have to have pushers to make sure everyone gets on. And they are literally sometimes grab the sides of the door and shove with their feet to get them in so the doors can close. That's how crowded it is. This vision is even beyond that. If you can grasp that at all. Just like God promised Abraham, as many as the stars of the heavens and the sands of the seashore. And it's universal in scope. It's every nation, every tribe, every people, every language. Expression piled on expression that just emphasizes that vision. And that vision is very multi-ethnic, multicultural, intercultural. And that's God's intention. It's made up of Chinese, Nigerians, Malaysians, Germans, even a few Swedes, Canadians even, and more, from every people. I don't know whether you can see that in your mind's eye. Obviously, Revelation speaks of the future. But as I read Scripture and what God's desire and vision has been from the beginning, this isn't just about the future. It is, but it's also about us now. God's vision for us as a church. I like to call it a Revelation 7 church. And that's what I know you're desire is to plant a Revelation 7 church, as is ours in Tokyo. Maybe as a child, you, or maybe even older, you played with a kaleidoscope. I think really this is a picture of a kaleidoscope of nations. Now, if you've played with one of those, really it's just a simple tube. It's enclosed. One end, it has an eyepiece. And then inside, it's got a bunch of colored glass. And then two or three mirrors that are aimed at each other. And you just take that and point it towards a light source, and you see these beautiful patterns. And, you know, despite that, they're really broken, irregular pieces of glass that you have inside. Despite that, the mirrors transform them into something that's beautiful. I think this kaleidoscope is a good metaphor for God's vision. We're broken. We're broken people, individuals. But the nations, too, are broken. But he has taken that brokenness and transformed it into something that's beautiful, into something that he meant it to be from the beginning. And as we serve together, as we worship together, we reflect the glory of God. But we also reflect each other's glory, the glory that God has given us as nations. And we become something even greater, something more beautiful than any one of us or any one nation. And that's what God sees for us. That's what John saw in his visions. But notice where the focus is, though. It's not on the diversity of peoples. That's important. But let me read both, again, verse 9, but also verse 10. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to the Lord, to God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Where's the focus there? It's on the throne, isn't it? It's on the Lamb. It's on our Savior, Jesus Christ. We shouldn't forget that. And that salvation shout is just an outpouring from the hearts of those, that multitude that includes every nation and every language. Why? Because it's because of what God and the Lamb have done that we individually and we as nations can stand there before the throne. And it's only because of that salvation that the multitudes can be there worshiping together, focused on the throne. And you know, it's that work of Jesus Christ on the cross that has demolished every barrier. Barriers that are between us and God, barriers that separate us from each other. We're reconciled to God and to each other. That's the reality. Now, obviously, you don't have to look very far and know that we're still a work in progress. But that's how God sees us. And that's his vision as we try and live that out. And so, it's Jesus Christ and the gospel that must be the center of everything we do. And we need to remember that it's only because of the gospel that Revelation 7 will happen. And that a Revelation 7 church can happen now. That's the only way. It's only the gospel that will break those barriers, those many barriers that we see today. Can you imagine that kind of a church? Now, you've only been in existence for a few weeks, but that's the image that God holds before you and before us, is to become that kind of a church, a Revelation 7 church. As I said, I grew up in Japan, and one of the things that I did not like very much was Japan had foreigners at that point, but my folks were in cities. That's where I grew up, in Japan. But it was pretty rare that we saw other foreigners, except for certain places in the city. In fact, I always, wherever I went, or often kids said, "Ah, Gaijin da,"
You know, foreigner, foreigner, look. They just hadn't seen foreigners very often, or maybe never at all. When we were there as missionaries in the 90s, there were more foreigners. But, you know, as we'd drive along a street and we'd see someone with blonde hair, you know, of course, ooh, I wonder where they're from. You'd turn around and look, and more often than not, they were a Japanese high school girl who had dyed her hair. You still didn't see a whole lot of foreigners. Well, two years ago about, I took a trip to Japan and was just there this summer for a couple of weeks. And almost anywhere you walk in Tokyo, you're seeing foreigners. Now, obviously, Japanese are the large, large majority, but the nations have literally come to Tokyo, just as they've come here to Vancouver and to many of the major cities in the world. Tokyo is a very international city. It's also a city that needs hope. Tokyo is by far the largest megacity in the world. Depending on who you talk to, it's anywhere between 35 and 39 million people. That's more than the population of Canada. That's about a third of the population of Japan as a whole. They're right there in the mega city. And that's what we, Tokyo Multicultural Church, are there for. Less than 0.5% of all Japanese and of all those 35 million people know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So it's a huge field that's ripe for harvest. We, as has been mentioned, are desiring to reach Tokyo and Japan for Jesus Christ by being an intercultural church. A church, a Revelation 7 church, where the peoples of the nations will celebrate, worship, and serve our risen Lord. Together. Where Jesus is proclaimed to all cultures and ethnic groups as the one who loves them and is the answer and fulfillment of their way of life. You notice the emphasis of the Japanese way of life, of the Chinese way of life, of the Canadian, the American way of life. Jesus Christ came so that we could have that in full. And it's only in him that will happen. Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was. And you may remember his response, love God, love your neighbor. But he also gave his disciples a new commandment. In John chapter 13, he said, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. You know, sometimes that's about the hardest thing you can do, is love one another in a church context. That's not easy. But Jesus knew that as that happened, that would have a profound impact on the world around. Just think of the kind of witness that you as a church can have, where you genuinely want to be together, where you like each other. Now, I know in Japan, if the Japanese see something like that, that would be astounding to them. It's through that that the world will know who we are, that we're followers of Jesus. And it's because of that that we can have relationships like that, that we can truly love. Now, the vision for Tokyo Multicultural Church, TMC, right now they have an English, that will be the main language, and that's what they, so far they've worshipped and shared together in English. Most know English. They've also started a Japanese service, but you know, not everyone, even those that are there now, don't understand English very well. So there's a need for Japanese, obviously. And as God leads, you know, not everyone else knows English or Japanese either. So there may very well be the need for a Chinese service. Maybe both Mandarin and Cantonese. I don't know. Maybe Filipino, Tagalog, German. The reality is that many peoples know multiple languages. But that's the vision. The church may be made up of different language-specific congregations. Now, the challenge there would then be to make it into a church, wouldn't it? We don't want separate churches. We want to be a Revelation 7 church. Different languages, but where we truly love each other and like to be together. And when I was there this last summer, that's the attitude that they had there. There were people from Malaysians, Chinese, both from northern China, from Hong Kong, Macau. There were, of course, Japanese, Koreans, Americans, Canadians. There were English, and the potential of growing even beyond that. They genuinely wanted to be together. And that's a taste of Revelation 7 right there. And you have a taste of that here too. The world has come to Vancouver. And I know that's part of your vision, to bring hope to the greater Vancouver area and beyond. The world's right here. And that's the challenge, to bring hope to the nations by being a kaleidoscope of nations, a Revelation 7 church. Now, right now, I'm in the process of raising a support team. And I wish I could just pick up and go. I would have been gone a long time ago. But the reality is, you can't live without money. And so that's part of what I'm doing now. I'm in the process of that. But, you know, a support team is much, much more than that. In fact, in a very real sense, the money, although important, I can't get there without it, really is much less than partnering in other ways, through prayer. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have used these chopsticks. This is what, at least for Japanese food, this is what they use. And I'll tell you, if there's Japanese food or Chinese or whatever, it doesn't taste the same without these. But, you know, it takes two. You can't just do it with one. In fact, you try and use one and stab your stuff, and they're going to be pretty offended at you for doing that. But this is a good metaphor of what it means to partner. One of the chopsticks, I mean, I can, you know, wave it around, but it stays stationary. It doesn't move. It's the other one that moves. And when you pick up the morsel, the rice or whatever, it's with both of them. Okay? The one stationary, the other one move. Now, I'm moving to Japan, but in a very real sense, what we are doing there, we can't do alone. I'm going to be part of a team, but we can't do it without partners like you. If that doesn't happen, TMC isn't going to happen either. So part of this whole process is seeking those who God has led to partner with me, to partner with TMC. And through that, I mean, that partnership doesn't go just that way. It's both and. We strengthen each other. And I've got prayer cards. I've got, if you want to sign up for an e-newsletter, or even if you want to get a hard copy, I can do that too. But I'm in that process of raising partners. Very much needed. Tokyo needs the gospel. Vancouver needs the gospel. And I'd love it if a church that is like us, really, in many ways, would come on board. But again, our challenge, whether it's in partnering or, well, you need to partner too with others in the area. You can't do it alone. And I know that that there are many that are standing behind you and with you. And it's because of that that you are where you are now. But again, Revelation 7, kaleidoscope of nations. That's God's vision. That's the vision he has for us. And you've begun walking that journey. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Let's pray. Our Father, you have blessed us by being here with us, by giving us hope. And you've also challenged us to not keep that hope for ourselves, but to reach out to others with that hope, a hope that there are so many in this world that they don't have. I pray that Hope City Church, Tokyo Multicultural Church, that you will teach us to love each other, to become the kind of church that you want us to become, and through that to have an impact that we could not even imagine at this point on the world around us. I pray that you'll impress on us and make your vision part of our vision. I thank you that we here have that we have the opportunity to truly worship together and to give you the glory. As we go out from here, I pray that in our daily lives, wherever we are, that that love and that hope that we have will be evident to those around us. Bless this church. Make it into your kind of church. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Let's all stand.